Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back.
This is a Back Row Super Show main show.
Yep, where we talk about particular subjects that each of us have brought up. We usually go back and forth.
Yeah, so yeah, this
last
is Zach.
Week. Oh, and this is Stuart. We should say our names. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we did on the last one that we did.
That's all right.
Whatever.
But yeah, last week was a Black Star.
Yeah, well, last week was a me. The previous main show is Black Star.
Yeah.
And
this one is a subject brought to you by Stuart. It is Doki Doki Literature Club.
Or choose who you want, but you better choose me.
Exactly. Because there's only one real choice. Anyway, before we get into everything, spoiler warnings. This is definitely going to be a spoiler cast. It's really hard to talk about this game without spoiling it. So, what I recommend to you is go out on Steam, get this game. It's free. The game is free. So you don't have an excuse unless you don't have Steam. Play it. I actually looked up the website on how long to beat. It's only 9 hours. Oh. 9 hours to play this game. So 9 hour commitment isn't that bad. Then come back to this.
Yeah.
Because we are definitely going to be digging in deep. I got my boots on and everything. So, just to give you a little bit of background, I have played this game. I've played this game twice. Zach?
I have seen Let's Plays, and then I was introduced to this game, I guess, by Stuart, who brought his computer over when he was visiting my wife and I, and he goes, play this game. You guys have to play this game.
Yes. Now, I didn't realize. So the game does kind of, you do have to sort of push through about an hour to 2 hours. If you're not a big visual novel fan, it is going to be a bit of a push for you.
Yeah, so what happened with us is that we're playing this game, and my wife is clicking through everything.
Yeah.
And she's just
not
like,
really reading.
Not really reading, just and clicking through, because neither one of us really like
visual
Sims
novels.
Or visual novels.
Yeah. And I believe your wife had to go to work, or go to like a performance,
like a performance
or something
like
that. But yeah, so it wasn't the best way to introduce it to you guys, but you don't have Steam. So when I really enjoy a game and I tell Zach, hey, you should play this game, his first response is usually, well, I don't have Steam.
Well, no, I have Steam. I just have a Mac.
Yeah.
And so, like, 9 times out of 10, whatever awesome game everyone loves, not available on Mac.
I'm pretty sure you can play it on Mac.
I mean, probably now. Yeah.
But yes, so this game is a visual novel.
Mm-hmm.
It was created by just one guy.
Yep, Dan Salvato.
Yes, who created Team Salvavo.
Well, I was looking online, and apparently he spent 2 years working on this game.
Yes.
He's also kind of made a name for himself before this as a Smash Brothers modder, which I didn't know that modding was a thing for Smash Brothers, but apparently it is.
Yeah, especially with Smash Brothers Melee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a bunch of... Because people will mod it to, like, bring it back to times when particular characters weren't buffed or particular characters weren't nerfed and things like that. So you can do all sorts of broken stuff.
So it's
on
like
it.
Vanilla.
Yeah, sort of like vanilla Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is a visual novel. Again, I highly recommend this game even if you don't like visual novels. So on the main Steam page, it's very cutesy. Doki Doki, actually in Japanese, is a alliteration of your heart thumping, of like, oh, cute girls and stuff like that.
Like it's super. So Super Mario Brothers 2 was originally a game called Doki Doki Panic, which meant like heart pounding panic.
Yes,
Heart pounding or whatever. So Doki Doki is just onomatopoeia, like you said, for your heart beating very rapidly in your chest.
Yeah, because maybe you saw a pretty girl.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okie dokie.
So, yeah, when you go to the main Steam page, you're greeted by four waifus. Yes,
yep.
Waifus.
Waifus.
I'm getting into that.
Okay.
and you see a warning, and you're like, huh, that's weird. This game isn't suited for small children and the faint of heart. Strange. And one of the tags, because each game in Steam will have a particular tag that, like, marks its genre and stuff like that. So this does have, like, the visual novel tag, but then it also has psychological horror. And you're like, huh.
So part of me, like, okay, so...
And this is why I wanted to introduce the game to Zach and his wife, so they wouldn't actually see the game and they would kind of go in blind. Because when I first played the game, I knew that there wasn't something right about the game, but I didn't know all the, like, I wasn't spoiled.
Well, let me interject, because I did not know, nor did my wife, what this game was. All that was presented was four waifus, and my wife looking over at me past your shoulder going, what am I doing? What am I doing? Can you help me?
Like, you have to pick the best girl.
Because it's a dating sim.
It's a dating sim.
And it looks like it. And I thought that Stuart and I were close enough that he would realize that neither one of us really like dating sims or visual novels.
But I will say that I did redeem myself. I brought over my computer and we played Monster Prom, which is a dating sim. But it was a funny dating sim.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did redeem myself on that factor.
I
was like, play one more dating sim. I promise there's no crazy... Well, there's some crazy stuff in there, but no psychological horror.
Yeah. Now, with this game, I had a question for you. Because I can't help but think that, you know, like, with stuff that goes on in... For instance, like the Marvel Universe, and people, like, things will happen and people will go, oh, well, I know that that character's not dead. Like, even in the comics, well, that character's not dead because it's a comic, or that character's not dead because they have a contract for 8 more movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me can't help but think that the meta-ness of this, like, the meta around this game, like, if you're in Steam and you see psychological horror.
Yeah.
That this game is for people who like horror. It's not trying to reach people who actually like dating sims. Would that be an accurate statement?
I think it's reaching both, because there are aspects of a dating sim in there.
There are.
Where you have choices, and the choices do give different outcomes. But I will say that this definitely, with... Not good, but with normal dating sims, or good, like, when they're trying to be dating sims, your choices are branching out, and it looks more like a triangle, where you start off at the tip, but when you end, you have so many different choices. Well, this one's more of an oval, where, yeah, you do have some choices, but the game's really railroading you into one final ending. There's
so, yeah.
not, because I played it twice, and I tried doing different choices than my previous playthrough, just to see what was different, and the small different, or the things that were different were small.
Okay.
It wasn't that much of change, but it does give you some more information that you didn't get if you did one particular playthrough.
So, do you play a lot of... dating sims and visual novels?
Why you gotta bring my personal life?
No, I'm just... No, the reason I'm asking is a game mechanics type question. Is he subverting... Is anything that he's doing in this game subverting the genre, other than, like you said, the multiple endings versus one ending? The way that you play it, how does he subvert the visual novel dating sim... genre with this game?
Well, there are multiple levels to that answer.
Okay.
One, this game is actually a trailer slash teaser for his new game.
Wait, this he has a 9-hour trailer?
This is kind of a 9-hour trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because some of these characters are going to be in his next game. His next game, which is a horror game.
Okay.
Which we will get into.
Okay.
As it being a dating sim, it's a very limited dating sim.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely better dating sims out there, but this isn't trying to be a dating sim. Like, don't go into this game thinking, oh, I'm going to play a really cool dating sim. No, this is more of a psychological sort of, like, thriller horror thing.
So then, what is the draw to this type of game?
This type of game? I would say, for some people, it's the shock value of, like, going into a game not knowing exactly what to expect, and then seeing particular scenes play through, and sort of being, like, shocked and taken back and having that, like, raw reaction.
Okay, so he is using the, like, I would say he's using the Doki Doki word, correctly in this game.
Yes, it is your heart does. Yeah, which is correct. And again, those 2 hours where a lot of people, there's not much happening. Well, there is something happening. You're becoming closer to the characters. You're becoming more invested in the characters.
I would
say the writing is really good in this.
Well,
for visual novels, sorry, I keep looking you off. For visual novels, this writing is grade A.
Yeah, well, and the writing in this is very good. I would think that nothing happens for so long, because again, when I was introduced to it, I didn't know what was going on, and so I was just like, what the hell is this? Like, this is just a regular-ass visual novel. Stuart knows that I hate these things.
Yeah.
And part of me thinks that it's him just lulling you into a state of complacency.
Yeah.
I
mean, he does it with the music, because the music really does loop.
Do you have the soundtrack to this?
Again, I have Spotify, so... Okay. Most of my music is on Spotify. Fair. I do listen to some of the music.
Okay.
But yeah, there's the one of the main like songs, which is Monica's song at the very end, which she plays on the piano. It's played on a recorder, but in the loop, you can hear that the recorder misses a couple, like, plays a little flat keys sometimes, and you're like, that's kind of weird. Like, you'd think that they would have, like, a perfect take of just a simple song that loops. Yeah. But there's a couple of, like, sharp notes where you're like, that's
which
kind
of... Which are probably played on purpose.
Yes, which is probably played on purpose, which kind of jars you a little bit.
Well, so...
Anyway, so, do you want to walk through this, or...
Well, yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to comment on with this was that... kind of in the background of this, I love things that break the fourth wall.
Yes.
I love, which again, big red arrows. This is a spoiler cast. Stuart will take us through this wild and crazy ride.
Yeah.
It makes me want to write one kind of like this, because this was built in, I don't know how to pronounce it, Renpy?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Renpy. Because it's, what I found, it's Python-based free software specifically for making visual novels.
Yes.
So you could do this.
You could do this, yeah.
If you know Python.
If you know Python. And especially being like a modder, you probably know Python.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely a very interesting game that has kind of multiple layers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to get through this. Hopefully not too fast, but I'm going to try to not make this into a long, drawn-out thing.
Yeah.
So there are four girls, Monica, Natsuki, Yuri, and Sayori.
And describe the four a little bit, if you would, so that people kind of have like an overview of what type of character
I'm assuming
are.
That if you're still listening to this, you've played the game.
Okay.
That's my assumption is...
Okay.
You played the game. That's a fair
assumption, because we said at the beginning, go play this game and then come back and listen to it.
So you know the four ladies. And again, you go through it for the 2 hours, and you get into the jarring moment of Sayori's death. And it's interesting because, so your wife played the beginning of the game, and it's an interesting mechanic of you creating your own poems, mm-hmm. where you basically pick out words. And you've got, like, three little chibis of the girls, and when you pick a certain word, they jump up and down, and like, yay! Meaning, like, you've increased your connection with them. And I remember, because your wife is smart, she picked, like, depression, and she saw Sayori jump up and down, and she's like, that's kind of weird. I was like, it is weird, isn't it?
Which I have to say, that the hour or so that we played through this, but, like, I finally looked it up on my phone, and I was like, oh, this game is a fucking ruse. Yeah. Okay.
So, at the very beginning, when you pick certain words, you see the girl jump up and down, and it kind of peers into their psyche. Mm-hmm. And then their poems also peer into their psyche as well. Again, at the very beginning, the poems are very calm and very straightforward. The only one that kind of gives you a little, like, huh, that's strange, is Monica's, where I believe she has a poem that's called Save Me. And at the beginning, you're like, oh, she's sort of like the teacher person who's, like, telling you to save your game.
Yeah.
But Save Me could be something else, like, save me from this particular world, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But yes, the first jarring moment, and if you look on YouTube, you can see all sorts of streamers react to this particular moment, because out of the entire game, I think this is the strongest, because it doesn't get into the, like, weird sci-fi fantasy area. It's something that, like, people can really connect with, because suicide's a, you know, is a big deal. It's definitely a big deal. And that just still image of her hanging herself is just powerful. Because you can also see on her hands, because I don't know if you saw it, she has blood on her fingers. And she has scratch marks on her neck, which means that she was probably trying to get herself out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, why would you put that there? But yeah, it really hit me hard. And I was like, oh. And I had to spin, like, I stopped. And I was like, I'm going to, like, not play this game for a couple of days. And kind of
go take a walk. And, I'll come back to this.
And I don't think I've had that experience with a game where I've put it down and go, huh, maybe I should, like, not play this game for a little bit and digest.
Were you in a good spot emotionally?
Yes, I was in a good
spot. Okay, gotcha.
I can't imagine, and again, I think that's why there's that warning there, but, like, being in a bad spot, trying to play this, like, lighthearted game and seeing that would,
That is the other side of the good part of the psychological horror tag.
Yes.
Because
and the warning. They have a warning on their Steam site, or on their Steam page, and at the beginning of the
yeah, because, like, my impression of dating sims and visual novels is that, I mean, they're very simple to play, and so my impression of them is that they're more used as distraction. Well, if someone's distracting themselves from something, they probably do not want to have a suicide as graphic as this just kind of thrust upon them.
Yeah.
So it is good that they have that tag that says psychological horror, so that there's some inference that you can draw from that this is not that you need to go somewhere else if you want to play a regular
this
dating sim.
This isn't your average dating sim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after that, then you the game basically glitches out on you, Monica comes and basically restarts the game without Sayori. So you've just got three girls. Mm-hmm. Then you start learning a little bit about each of them. So I was trying to romance Yuri. I believe your wife was also romancing her, too.
The dark-haired one?
Yes, she's the dark-haired one who's...
Yuri, and I know what my wife looks like.
Yeah, no. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
But you also learn about her book, Portrait of Markov. That's the book that she gives you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she tells you a little bit about it at the beginning, before things start getting weird, about how it's, like, a woman who goes and, like, lives with this weird family and stuff starts happening. Well, when you're dating her, basically, she gets a little bit more detailed in the book and says it's kind of like a cult that this woman gets trapped into that does scientifical research about people being aggressive and they start, like, killing each other and people start removing limbs and stuff like that. And then she starts like, oh, but, you know, it's a great book. Read it. which is really weird. Yeah. You start going, oh. And then you realize, oh, she's doing self-harm because you also find out that she really loves knives. Mm. And you see that she starts becoming obsessed with you. She's steals a pin from your room and she, like, does things with that pin. Mm. Yeah. And it just gets really on a creepy, stalkerish level. And basically, there gets to a point where she's, like, confesses her love and she's going crazy. And the cool thing is, again, this is a visual novel, but you do see things, like, randomly move. Like, her eyes, instead of becoming, like, illustrated eyes, become photorealistic eyes. And you can see them, like, moving back and forth. Just, like, randomly. And
which is really fucked up.
Yeah, especially when you're, like, at your computer by yourself, like, playing this visual novel. And
you happen to be leaning forward because you're so sucked into the story and then his eyes change.
And no matter what you tell her, she ends up stabbing and killing herself. And then you're stuck with her for an entire week. Like, you keep on clicking, and the text just keeps on going. And you can see, like, time slowly progressing.
Yeah.
Like, the classroom becomes darker and then lighter and stuff like that. And that's how she actually kills herself. Natsuki actually never kills herself. She doesn't kill herself, but she gets super glitchy. And, like, she gets a head crack and sort of a jump scare where she pops up and, like, runs towards the screen, which is freaky. But you learn a bit about her backstory through her poems and if you romance her. And you basically realize that her dad's abusive. He doesn't give her any food. She's malnourished. That's why she looks so small and always hungry.
Yeah, she does take cookies more often than the others when they, like, bring things to the literature club.
Well, she's the one who provides all the cupcakes.
Yeah.
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 So, that's...
Not cookies, sweets is what I mean.
Yeah. And then you find out about Monica, who basically is has realized herself, self-reliant, not self-reliant.
She's self-aware AI.
Yes. And she basically tells you that she's been missing with the files of those particular characters and changing their personalities to scare you away from them so you would date her.
Yeah.
And at the very end, it's basically just her and you in a room. And you have to delete her file. The game really does ham-handedly give you the explanation of what you need to do. She's like, oh, I hope you don't go into the file and take my file and delete it. And she basically gives you, like, the string of where you need to go. And you're like, oh, I guess I should do this. But there's a nice little touch to it where in this game, you can call yourself whatever. You enter in a name. But she starts calling you by your actual name because the game looks up your Steam profile and, like, sees what name is listed in that Steam profile and starts calling you by that name.
Which I will say that...
That's creative.
That's very creative. Mm-hmm. I would say that this is a... This game is not necessarily a game so much as it is, like, an art piece.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because, it's not set up for, like, there is a winner, quote-unquote, in the end.
Is there? Who's the winner?
What I'm saying is that...
It's not you.
It's, yeah.
It's not Monica.
That's true. There's something about this game that, like, on the surface, it looks like just a standard game. But, like, with him messing with the files in Steam, mm-hmm. and in order for you to play the game, you have to mess with the files structure in Steam.
Yeah, just the characters. He draws your
information.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really different way to make a game, mm-hmm. and it also... is intended for a specific audience.
Yes.
And that audience is people who are familiar with Steam, because the reason they give you those directions so ham-handedly is that, like I said, I'm not as familiar with Steam, so if I wanted to go through this, I would just be like, okay, and then I go here? Okay, cool.
Or you just be stuck with Monica forever. You and Monica. Only Monica.
That's true.
Yeah. So, and that's pretty much the game. And yes, it's more of an art piece, but it's also a bit of a teaser for his next game.
Okay. So yeah, so is that all you wanted to cover during...
The game portion of it.
The game portion.
Sure, yeah. Okay. I will, again, say that it's a really good game. It's free, so it's really hard to, you know, not sell you on free.
You can pay money, and there are some extra things that they include. Like, aren't there, like...
You get the soundtrack.
Desktop images, probably.
He has desktop images. They actually have a store, too, where you can get particular, like, art pieces and stuff like that. Where there's original art pieces and, like, pieces from the game, and then pieces that he's actually drawn.
Oh, okay.
Which is super cool. Or I don't think he's personally drawn it, but he's gotten, like, commissions.
Yeah.
Where the artwork is really good. Again, these character models are really good. I don't know who actually did the art for all this, because I don't think it was him. I think he did mainly the coding and creating the game.
Probably commissioned a lot of it. Yeah.
But the assets are really cool. Like, they really pull you in. And even the music, because at the very end, there's a song sung by Monica, and that voice actress is amazing. She is, like, just singing that song gives you, like, chill bumps or goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's super cool. Again, highly recommend it. So... There's a game within the game.
Yeah.
A lot of... So, and again, this isn't all the research I've done. I will basically say, go to a couple of things. Go to the Reddit page. I believe there's a subreddit for Doki Doki Literature Club.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a excellent YouTube site. It's called Game Theorist, who cover... Doki Doki Literature Club. And I got most of this information from those two sites.
Well, so and also, just to cover how this played with critics, RPG Fan gave it a 90%.
Mm-hmm.
The Metacritic is a 78.
Mm. Interesting.
I think I would agree with that.
78, yeah.
It's because, and the reason for it is RPG Fan, I can see why they would give it a high review.
Yeah.
The Metacritic is probably pulling from people who are treating it like a game rather than an art piece. And so as a game, it's not...
As a game, it's very limited. There's, you know, it's a graphic novel. It is a graphic novel.
Yeah.
You do make choices, and some of your choices unlock, like, bonus art and stuff like that.
Right.
But you're always going to come back to the same ending. Also, for those of you curious... My second playthrough, it's just me and Monica. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to delete her this time. It's just, you know, I'll come back to that game, I'll open it up, it'll just be me and Monica hanging out in that room. I mean, why not? Anyway, so going back to this part. So there's a game within the game. And this is sort of like a code finding thing. So there are four character files in the game. Again, Monica points them out to you. Mm-hmm. And they're files with the ending CHR, which isn't an actual file ending to it. Yeah. So there are a lot of people basically open it in a text file. So Yuri's, when you open her character file in a text file, you get this long string of numbers, which is actually a code. You enter it into a decryptor. I believe it's like a code 64 or something like that.
Okay.
So when you translate that code, because it's numbers that match with letters that match with something else. Okay. It's a particular code, and when you translate that, it ends up being a creepypasta, basically. It's a long story that Dan wrote himself 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with the particular game.
Yeah.
It's just basically a creepypasta, huh. Which is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
But that's a red herring. So you move into the next character file. I forget which character file it is, but when you open it as an image, it's this weird image that's distorted. So basically, you have to change the colors, you have to invert the colors, and then you get a weird-looking face. But when you take that actual picture, make it into a cylinder, and then look at the top of the cylinder, it's a picture of a woman. But it's not a woman of or it's not any of the four ladies. It's a particular different woman, or a different woman who people are speculating may be part of his next game. Okay? You got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a bunch of coding. That's a lot of work to put in and just hoping that people, like, it hits the right notes with people. Yeah. Like,
well, people love this thing. People love, like, coding and, like, scavenging between
things. Well, it makes me think, like, not knowing how successful it would be before releasing it, if he, like, leaked hints here and there of, like, you should decrypt this number.
Yeah.
Here's how to do it. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. So
what's the third clue?
The third one is you basically put it into a, I believe into, like, it's a website, basically. It's built into a website. You put it into, like a Dreamweaver or something like that. And it builds a website. It's basically this circle of fire with this square box of white and black. And a lot of people thought that was a UR code. You know how UR codes look. But it wasn't. It was actually a string of ones and zeros, black being zero, white being one.
Okay.
So somebody went through line by line.
And binary coded?
Binary coded, which led it into the particular code that the first one was translated into. So they translated that in, and that was Monica's character, and she talks to you. It's an actual, like,
dialogue,
yes, where she's like, hey, I've seen these characters before in another world. Something's not right here. If you're reading this, that means that, like, things have happened, and I need to go back in time to change things. And she mentions 2018. So people are theorizing that his newest game is going to come out this year. And that Monica is actually going to be the protagonist. Like, she's actually trying to help you.
So something went wrong and made her the antagonist.
Yeah, well, and that she has a little bit more knowledge. And she knows that these characters are from a different world that they're not in their game. They're in a different game, not the game that they're meant to be in.
That's a real mindfuck. Like,
it is. And again, you can go onto the subreddit. It's all translated there. You can read what she says. I'm giving you the TD.
Bird's eye view.
Yeah. Too long, didn't read. So then you go into, I believe, Sayori's one.
Okay.
That one is actually you have to make it into a sound file.
Okay.
Sound file is nothing, but if you image the sound file and then you scrunch it a little bit, it becomes a URL code. And the UR code takes you to a website. And the website's just plain text. And it talks about a Lucia, a particular woman who was in a medical camp.
Okay.
Who's exhibiting aggressive behavior and how she's killing people.
Okay.
And they give her all the stats. Now, the stats line up with Yuri's stats. Like her height, her age, her... Yeah.
Her blood type?
Yeah, particular things like that. So you start realizing, the portrait of Markov is going to be his new game where you're, like, traveling or you're going to be entering into this,
that
like...
That would be interesting, going into a cult.
A cult, yeah, where they're doing weird scientific behavioral things about aggression. And that's why maybe Yuri's a little bit more aggressive.
That's awesome.
And how she's, you know, like, cutting and stabbing people and stuff like that. So you get into that.
Okay.
And then you the final thing that somebody found out was actually on their website, Doki Doki's website, on their purchasing website, where you can buy like particular like images and arts and stuff like that. There are 4 unique arts of all the girls, and they look really different, and there's red strings tying each one of them, and you can sort of see that they all go together, except for Yuri, who has, like, a red flower where her heart is, and all the strings are coming out from there. So, like, sort of her manipulating people and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And then there's another art of Yuri where it's basically her lounging with a knife, and you see in the background the portrait of Markov, and a third eye, which is really interesting because there's a lot of the poems that you get.
Yeah.
That, so you get a poem that's redacted from Monica.
Right.
But if you bump up the brightness, if you take, like, in, Adobe, the redaction goes away and you can actually read it. And it's a medical, like, examination of somebody.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
from
really
an occult thing, yeah. Also, I believe Natsuki gives you a poem that's in code that you can decode just like all those other things. And it basically tells you to open up your third eye. That there's something going on weird. And then Yuri gives you this, basically this poem that's scribbled, but people have figured out what it says. And it talks about her first time stabbing somebody, killing somebody. It's really creepy. All of this stuff can be found either at the YouTube. He goes in and he goes in great detail. Very fantastic. Or on the subreddit. So basically, and now people are theorizing that his new game is going to be probably called either, you know, a portrait. Or something like that. And it's going to be you exploring this, like, occult area. Because it's not going to be a graphic novel. It's going to be sort of like
third person.
Silent Hill. Yeah.
Okay.
Third person because of the whole, like, third eye. Sort of like looking over somebody. And sort of that exploration deal. And it's going to be very creepy. And that there probably are going to be the four characters, Monica, Sayori, Natsuki, and Yuri.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this is why people need to support independent artists, because there is no way in hell a AAA company would put out this fucking game with that much.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's free, so it's sort of like an advertisement for his new game. Like, if you, you know, played through Doki Doki, you found out all of this information, of course you're going to be super hyped to see his new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because on the subreddit, a lot of people are clamoring because, you know, it's close to almost the year in, and there's been no word about this particular
Hopefully
game.
It's not vaporware or some sick joke that he's played to just be like, I wonder how far down the rabbit hole some of these weeds
People will go. I mean, and it's interesting because it wasn't obvious. It wasn't like, here you go.
No, the only you have obvious, to go on a scavenger hunt for that shit.
The only big obvious thing was his creepypasta, which I know you enjoy creepypasta. I would recommend you reading this because it has no, like, ties the Doki Doki, like, you can just read it as a normal story. And Dan even admitted that he was like, yeah, I wrote this about 2 years ago just as a short story.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend you reading that.
Okay, yeah, I'll check it out because I love creepypasta.
Yeah.
One of the, before I got too freaked out and scaredy-catted out of listening to it, one of the podcasts that I recommend anyone like if they like horror short stories is the No Sleep podcast. What they do is they take Reddit short stories that people have submitted, mm-hmm. and then they do voice acting and sound effects and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Some of the like creepier ones.
Yeah.
It's got like 5 years worth of episodes.
Oh, nice. So definitely a backlog that you can listen to.
There's a backlog to listen to on your commute. Yeah. But it is fucked up and it sounds like it's right up this game's like alley.
Yeah. Thing. So it's really cool to, like, play this game and then see so much underneath it. Like, it's a game within a game itself.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. Play the game and then start looking on the internet, preferably on subreddit or on the YouTube Game Theorist. And you can see, like, how much work went into solving this and... Again, I did a bird's eye view, so it dives deeper in and you can read all of these things. But yeah, I really wanted to talk about it because I know that you knew it like on the surface level.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a deeper well to sort of dig yourself into.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Doki Doki. Crazy, crazy ladies for crazy people.
Yes. I recommend it if you like playing games that make you think and would send you on a scavenger hunt, and are maybe not necessarily games, I would highly recommend it. If you're wanting to play a visual novel or a dating sim,
I would not.
Do not.
Yeah.
Do not play this game. This is not for you.
Best explained it as it's an art piece.
Yeah.
It's trying to pull emotions out of you and make you feel certain things
right
on the top of it. Yeah, and then it wants you to dive deeper in. So definitely a thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
And
thumbs up for me for the Let's Plays.
Yeah.
That I've watched and this scavenger hunt that you've been outlining.
Yeah.
Thumbs up because like that I can't imagine the amount of red string type bullshit that this creator had to go through to piece all of this together.
Yeah, and to hype up his new game.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And he made it, you know, the game free so people will play it and sort of, like, figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a free game means more people are playing it, which means more people are there to help solve. Because it's not just one person, like, solving this stuff. It's a bunch of people bringing in resources.
Yeah.
And you can really see, like, what people can do with resources and time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
If you have any other recommendations, or don't send us corrections, guys. We're just sharing things that we like.
Yeah.
I mean, send corrections if you want, but...
What? There's been some corrections? Interesting.
No, anyway. I'm just saying the internet loves correcting people, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, definitely, like, if we misquoted something or something along those lines.
Yeah, but, yeah, just send us emails if you'd like.
Yeah, you can always find us on Facebook as well.
Yep, it's backrowsupershow@gmail.com, and then the Facebook is backrowsupershow, four separate words.
Mm-hmm.
We are the podcast feed that gives you multiple shows in your feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep listening. Our next main show episode will be on the film Avatar.
Ooh.
Not the pseudo anime series, though.
No.
The Blue People movie by James Cameron.
Not the Smash. Not the movie that got destroyed.
Yeah.
I still have not watched Avatar, so I need to watch it.
Oh, we'll have to have a movie night
then. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, until then, watch Avatar, listen to Me. Just catch up with some of the things we've been doing that aren't necessarily deep enough conversation to do an entire episode on.
Yeah, and again, you know, hopefully you played the game, came back to this, and realized that there was something deeper that now you can dig into.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Till next time.
Bye.